Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 37, verses 1 to 4 and 12 to 28. Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. These are the descendants of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. He was a helper to the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report of them to their father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other children, because he was a son in his old age, and he made him an ornamented robe. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now his brothers went to the pasture, their father's flock near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "Are not your brothers pasturing the flock at Shechem? Come, I will send you to them." He answered, "Here I am. See if it is well with your brothers and with the flock, and bring word back to me." So he sent him from the valley Hebron. He came to Shechem, and a man found him wandering in the fields, and the man asked him, What are you seeking?" "I am seeking my brothers," he said. "Tell me, please, where are they pasturing the flock?" The man said, "They have gone away, for I have heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them at Dothan. They saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes this dreamer. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. Then we shall say that a wild animal has devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." But when Reuben heard it, he delivered him out of their hands, saying, "Let's not take his life." Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but lay no hand on him, that he might rescue him out of their hand and restore him to his father." So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornamented robe he wore, and they took him and threw him into a pit. The pit was empty, there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. Looking up, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels carrying gum, balm, and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is it to kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he's our brother, our own flesh." And his brothers agreed. When some Midianite traders passed by, they drew Joseph up, lifting him up out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them, and early in the morning he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter came to the water, and he came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. I'm a little worried that I'm going to go off on tangents, So I'm trying to stick to the notes. I'm trying to stick to what I did, but my mind keeps thinking of other things. So I'm hoping to rein it in. If it seems like I've gone far afield, yell squirrel, okay? Because that means I'm chasing a squirrel. All right, now for the tough part. I subscribed to Time Travel Magazine today. My first issue arrives last week. I made a time travel joke, but no one got it. I guess it was ahead of its time. That was better. You know, I used to be addicted to time travel, but that's all in the past now. Well, the concept of time travel has seemingly been around forever. Mark Twain wrote a Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. H.G. Wells wrote The Time Machine in 1895. And I can remember a Twilight Zone episode where Russell Johnson, who was the professor on Gilligan's Island, going back to try and prevent the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Marty McFly, who was played by Michael J. Fox, time traveled in an adapted DeLorean car in three Back to the Future movies. The Terminator had Arnold Schwarzenegger sent from the future to kill the mother of the man who would destroy the cyborgs in the future. And even Hermione Granger used a time turner in the Harry Potter series. And not to be left out, in Avengers Endgame, the superheroes used time travel to save the universe from a big purple monster man. And I could go on and on, but I'm reining in. My favorite time travel adventure is the Outlander series. I mean, what is not to love? It is set originally in Scotland, and a hunky Scottish guy with a great accent and a great body and a kilt, and a love story for the ages. I mean, come on, what is not to love? God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, begins Reinhold Niebuhr's famous Serenity Prayer, a favorite text of those in AA and other 12-step recovery programs. If I could turn back time, sang Cher in a 1989 pop hit. If I could find a way, I'd take back those words that hurt you and you'd stay. Well, time travel movies and books are entertaining and a bit mind-bending. They ask the question of what would happen if you could go back in time and change history. Now, I posed this question to our dinner and conversation group on Thursday night to give them a little heads up. But what change would you make if you could go back in time and change something? Okay, he would work harder in school and know from the start that college was not something he could not attain. Someone else. What would you change if you could go back in time?
Not take people for
granted. Not what?
Not take people for granted.
Not taking people for granted, okay. I was kind of thinking there'd be historic things, you know, that... I mean, yes, they're historic to you, but that's I like that inner thought. Anyone else?
I would pray more with my children.
You would pray more with your children? Good.
I would have listened to my father sooner.
You would have listened to your father sooner. Yes, I understand that. I'm sorry?
Married your wife
sooner. Okay. All right. Well, in the book of Genesis, a man named Jacob settled in the land of Canaan, and he had 12 sons. He also had a daughter, Dinah, which is a whole other story. And one of them was named Joseph. And Jacob loved Joseph more than the other of his children, says Genesis, because he was the son of his old age. And Jacob made him, now here's where we're going to get into controversy. He made him a coat or a long robe with sleeves. Now, in the King James Version, that got translated as a coat of many colors. I mean, yes, that's a beautiful image, and yes, Dolly Parton got to sing about it, and yes, Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice wrote a wonderful musical about it, and his Technicolor Dreamcoat. But you can just, it really was a coat with long sleeves, which was different because his brothers were probably wearing animal skins, okay? So you can just imagine how his brothers responded to this. The Bible says they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. And Joseph was also a dreamer, and some of his dreams contained the message that his brothers would one day bow down to him. His dream said he was the head honcho, and his brothers were insignificant. I'm sure that did a lot to cement that brotherly love. And it says they hated him even more because of his dreams and his words. At age 17, Joseph was shepherding the flock with his brothers, acting as a helper. And four of them were misbehaving in the field, so Joseph brought a bad report to their father. So Joseph's also a snitch. And he ratted out Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher, and basically threw them under the bus. Say to Joseph, "Don't be a snitch. Your brothers are going to terminate you." Well, predictably, the situation went from bad to worse. When Joseph was sent to check on his brothers as they pastured their father's flock, and his brothers saw him from a distance, and before he came near to them, they conspired to kill him. If you could employ a Harry Potter time turner, you might say to the brothers, "Don't do it. You will never get away with murder." Unfortunately, the eldest brother, Reuben, stepped in saying, "Let us not take his life. Shed no blood. Throw him into this pit here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." And Reuben's plan was to go back later and rescue Joseph and return him to their father. Well, when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe with long sleeves and threw him in an empty pit. And so then, feeling hungry after their exertions, because contemplating fratricide, you know, you work up an appetite, they sat down to eat. But as they were eating, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead, carrying precious cargo to Egypt. And so then and there, the brothers decided to make a little profit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Now, if you could be an Avenger and do time travel, you might say to the brothers, "Glad you didn't kill him, but selling him into slavery? Is that a good end game?" Well, the story of Joseph and his brothers makes us want to go back in time and make changes. But we should never forget that God is always working toward a surprising conclusion, even when humans are acting in horrible ways. In the book of Genesis, Joseph was sold to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials. That's bad. But Joseph found favor in Potiphar's sight and was put in charge of his house. That's good. Then Potiphar's wife saw how handsome Joseph was and tried to seduce him. That's bad. Joseph refused. That's good. But Potiphar's wife accused Joseph of misconduct, and he was thrown into prison. That's bad. But then God showed him love and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. That's good. Bad, good. Clearly, God is always working toward a surprising conclusion, even when humans are misbehaving. If we were to go back in time and change history, we might disrupt the work that God is doing in the world. While in prison, Joseph became an interpreter of dreams, and eventually he offered insight into the dreams of Pharaoh. He was released from prison and rose to power in Egypt, becoming second in command to Pharaoh. That's good. Eventually, famine struck the entire region, and people from many countries came to buy bread in Egypt. And among the hungry people were Joseph's brothers. And at first, Joseph did not reveal himself to them, but he treated them harshly. Eventually, he agreed to help them and said, "Even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it for good in order to preserve a numerous people." And at the end of the story, Joseph forgives his brothers and provided for them as God wanted him to do. In every time and place and situation, God is working God's purposes out. Sometimes we humans cooperate with those purposes, and sometimes we don't. But nothing deters God in the work of saving people from destruction. Even the bad things that we would like to change in world history and in our own personal histories can be transformed into good. God is not responsible for the evil that people do, but history shows that God can turn bad into good. God did it with Joseph and his brothers. God did it with Jesus on the cross. God did it with Paul, who moved from a persecutor of the church to an apostle to the Gentiles. Nothing is wasted with God. When Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery, they set the stage for his rise in Egypt. When Jesus died and was buried, he was put in the right place for resurrection. The zeal of Saul, the persecutor, changed into the passion of Paul, the apostle. Each of us has committed sins, suffered defeats, and made terrible mistakes, and been treated terribly. We might want to jump in a time machine and change the past. But remember, life, turning evil into good. And since nothing is wasted with God, there is no point in trying to change history. Instead, trust God to transform your future. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.